Very glad to direct your attention to Psalm 111 as our Psalm of the Month. As we meditate on it this morning, I'll set in front of you several things to explain and apply or direct your attention to Jesus in this psalm. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and righteousness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I was struck in reading through this psalm about how often we approach God only when we need something. Psalm 111 prompts you to meditate on the goodness of God and on his wonderful works, and by them to worship him. Verse 1 begins by directing you how to praise God. It says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Have you ever heard somebody describe their participation in something as being half-hearted? That's something that you might know very well. For instance, if somebody was playing in a basketball game but wasn't really in it, you might say his heart wasn't in the game. He was only playing half-hearted. And you could tell when that happens. Do you know that you could approach worship in the same way? That you can be half-hearted about praising God? This psalm leads you to recognize that God wants heartfelt sincerity in worship and in praise. You should remember that Jesus is the one who said that true worshipers that God delights in and that God seeks are those who worship him in spirit and in truth. The psalmist also attaches that same sincerity to the public worship of God. The second half of verse 1 says, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. It's describing where he would worship. You might have noticed that today there seems to be something of a drift away from going to church to worship God. Some suggest that it's far better to have private time with God. It's more direct, maybe more free from hypocrisy. I guess if you think a lot pretty highly of yourself, you could say that. But these suggestions run against words like we find here in Psalm 111 that describe how important it is to gather together to worship, and that that worship be full of heartfelt sincerity. The rest of the psalm then might be summarized as giving content to that praise in 5 broad categories. And I'll just run through them very quickly, especially developing the 4th one. The first one is to praise God for his works. They're great, honorable, and glorious. In fact, the psalmist begins by speaking about God's works generically. And he says they ought to be studied by all. That's very instructive to help us to understand what leads us to worship. We study and we look at what God has done and we say back to him, God, you are great. Elder Dave Carroll encouraged the college group yesterday to meditate on God's word, to meditate on his works, and to let that lead you to praise Him. That's what this psalm is doing. Secondly, praise Him for His deeds of righteousness. Here the psalmist starts to get a little more specific. He says that the works of God's hands are verity, which means truth. The works of His hands are truth and justice. God is righteous, and everything He does is righteous. There's no wrong in Him at all. Each one of these you could meditate on and study and be led to praise a righteous God in this case. Praise Him for provision. Psalm mentions, thirdly, about how God takes care of you. Praise Him for provision. He provides food. It's sad how easily we forget God's goodness in simple, everyday living. God is the one who provides food. Praise Him for that. Fourthly, praise Him for redemption. I'm going to expand a little bit on this. You could summarize this by saying, praise Him for Jesus. The psalm speaks of redemption here in terms of God remembering His covenant. There's something very interesting that happens in verse 5 that I really want you to pay attention to. He says, first of all, He has given food to those who fear Him. And there's a device in Hebrew poetry where one line is linked to the next. And they call it parallelism. And in this case, in this stanza, the psalmist links God's provision of something simple as our daily food with something incredibly grand like this. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. And it's sad that we forget how God provides our daily food, but we're sadly forgetful as well of the way He remembers His covenant and how He forgives our sins. The psalmist intentionally links those two so that you would remember on a daily basis both the simple kindness of God as well as the grand giving of redemption in Jesus Christ. It's as if the psalmist says, as surely as God remembers to care for your common everyday needs, He will surely also remember His promise to care for your soul. You can see that theme worked out in a couple of other places in the psalm. Verse 9 especially says, He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. There are the terms of the covenant spoken of again, that this is how God provides redemption. He has promised it, and Jesus comes as the sign or as the fulfiller of the new covenant. Paul seems to echo this promise in the New Testament when he says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And there's God remembering His promise and His covenant. You might also note that Mary quotes this verse directly in her praise to God when she finds out that she would bear Jesus Christ. Fifthly and finally, praise God for the gift of the fear of the Lord. The psalm closes by speaking of that as the beginning of wisdom. You might recognize that as quoted as well in the book of Proverbs. In this case, fear doesn't mean being scared witless. In fact, Rachel asked me just last week about the fear of God and what that means. It doesn't mean to be scared witless so that we run and hide. Instead, it speaks of giving honor and respect and awe to a God who is great and righteous, who provides and who remembers His covenant. God graciously grants you this wisdom through faith. And as you meditate on these things, you will find reason upon reason upon reason to praise the Lord. May you be blessed as you meditate on God's Word and His works this month, as you worship Him through these words of praise. I invite you to turn to the first selection of Psalm 111, and we will meditate by singing, and we will praise by singing, using Psalm 111, selection A, I do invite you to please stand to praise God.